actually, you're here, so it's the dynamic duo.
Yeah.
That's better.
That's right.
How you doing, Michael?
I'm doing great today.
What's up?
Oh, not a whole lot.
I bet people are wondering, who is he? Roger has governmental duties to do.
Okay.
Because of that, I told him that I would. Now, he's supposed to be here after 4.
Okay.
I'm guessing. I don't know.
We'll see.
Rumor has it the mayor of Kalamazoo is in the building, too. You never know. He might bop in here, too.
Okay. Oh, wow.
You know, who knows? The Honorable Bobby Hopewell. He may be, you know.
We're friends. We're friends on Facebook.
That's, yeah. Me too. Am I friends with you on Facebook?
I don't believe so.
I got to change that.
Yeah.
Break. Well, anyway, it's Tuesday. And I've been up for a while, so I'm going to be in a real good shape.
Oh, yeah.
I believe they refer to it as rare form. Mm-hmm. So you might want to tune into this one. It could be a lot of fun. Jim McKinney, Roger Taylor will be here a little bit later. It is the afternoon here on 590 WKZO. We're having fun. 8, 9 after the hour of 8. 6 after 8.
It's 3.
3. You know what? I can't. Okay. Now, let me explain this and set it up. I have, like, trifocals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But you can't see the lines. What do they call those? I forget what it is. Anyway,
yeah.
If I'm looking the wrong way, you know, like this, I can see everything very clearly. When it goes down, 3 becomes 8. 9 after 3. There we go.
Yeah.
We're good. Yes. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today. We're going to talk about the president. We're going to talk about, we're going to talk to Gene Clem from the Tea Party movement. He's the spokesperson for the Michigan Tea Party Alliance and the Southwest Michigan Tea Party Patriots about what happened on Mackinac Island in a recent article that Susan Demas wrote that he would, I'm guessing, would like. Government run amok, maybe, and we're going to rip the Tigers up a little bit.
All right.
Yeah. Gotta love it. So anyway, fun stuff. But in the meantime, 382-4280, 1-877-382-4280. That's how you get into the show. You can also send those snarky and smarmy texts to 80373. Let us begin the show. Oh, I love that. El Sol Elementary School in Kalamazoo.
Great
yes,
job.
Indeed. Went there a year or so ago and recorded the entire kid, all the kids, saying the Pledge of Allegiance in the gym. It was fun.
It sounded really great.
I have to go grab that camera again one of these days after I get off in the morning and go out and have some more fun. Because that's what we like around here, right, Gene? Is fun.
Yeah, that's it. That's 100% of the time.
Yeah, Gene had more fun today than I'm going to, but we're not going to talk about it.
Right.
Gene Clem is a friend of the show, and he's been here many times as a guest host. In fact, he was the first guest host on the Trifecta. And Gene, of course, as I said, is a spokesperson for the Michigan Tea Party Alliance and the president of the Southwest Michigan Tea Party Patriots, and it's always nice to have him on. How you doing there, my friend?
Doing pretty good. Beautiful day.
Okay, now, there's a big headline on MLive said, Susan J. Demas, Tea Party scores victory over GOP establishment at the Mackinac Conference. You were there. Would you agree with that statement?
Well, it all depends on how you look at it, I guess. But there was there were a lot of Tea Party people there. I spent actually only one afternoon on the island, and I was amazed at how many Tea Party people were there, because 2 years ago there were not very many at all.
Now we're sitting a ways away from the election. I mean,
yes,
seriously,
yes,
we are. Is it too soon to really say that the Tea Party is starting to get the hooks in like they want, or is can you say that you can start seeing some subtle changes and that hopefully this is a harbinger of things to come?
Well, I think you hit it on the head. It's subtle changes. There was an attempt last year to go at the head of the Michigan Republican Party and take Bobby Szostak out. But the people that I've worked with and are close to that, well, I'll put it another way, the people agree with me, think that the best way to do it is just move into the party, learn what's going on, get yourself elected as a district chairman or a county chairman or whatever, and then just move the whole party a little bit further to the right, especially on fiscal matters, which is where the Tea Party comes from. But and what we have found out as we started doing that is that, oh, my gosh, there's a lot of conservatives already here that that we can hook up with. And there's a few people that really enjoy big government type of Republican Party, and that's where the fight is between the two groups that have hooked up and the big government one.
We're talking with Gene Klem, of course, from the Tea Party movement. Gene, let me ask you this really quickly now. Of course, Rand Paul won going away
right
in the straw poll. And I'm, if you were to ask Mr. Paul, I'm sure he would be the first one to say, yeah, it's nice to win, but we got a long way to go. There was a comment made in this article about the fact that the Governor Chris Christie of New Jersey mm-hmm. may be the only Democrat or Republican candidate, almost messed up there,
yeah.
That the Democrats fear. Is that kind of true, or do you think that that Rand Paul being this popular this soon, maybe the Democrats ought to be taking a little bit of a look at him too?
Well, I think they should too, because I think they pigeonholed him. But as you know, that many times when Roger and I agree, it's because we both probed around to the left and the right and met where the libertarians are at. So the libertarians touch a lot of things that Democrats are also interested in. Mainly the Bill of Rights, that area of the Constitution that many Democrats fear of large government in interfering with. So I think you need, and that is an interesting thing they brought up, because I was at two of the functions where Rand Paul was at, and it was pretty obvious to me that it was a campaign stop. I mean, he's campaigning for the position, I'm pretty sure, right now. Make a big difference as far as the poll was concerned up there, because the other guys, Walker, and the other ones that were there, just more or less gave a speech, went to a little reception and were gone. So, but Rand Paul spent I know all day Saturday and part of Friday over there. So, makes a big difference.
Now I know that the Tea Party movement's stand on Obamacare is pretty clear.
Yes,
that
right.
You don't like it, and the defunding efforts are fine, and even though you know they're not going to go anywhere. Senator Cruz is on the floor of the Senate right now and has decided he's going to talk until he can't talk anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask a question concerning, all right, so let's take the defunding part out of this, because truth to tell, I mean, nobody who has any political knowledge really believes that Obamacare is going to get defunded. I mean, not with a democratically controlled Senate, and especially not with the guy whose name is on it sitting in the White House. But the business community has been given a year's amnesty, so to speak, to get
right.
their act together and whatnot. Do you have any inkling if the Tea Party thinks that it's fair that maybe the individual thing ought to be pushed off a year or two to be fair?
Anything that once that thing clicks in January, it'll be almost impossible to unravel it or take it apart. One of the things that's in the law itself is it's more or less self-funded, because part of the insurance, rather than taxpayers' money going to pay the infrastructure, part of the insurance premiums are siphoned off before they go to the insurance companies, and they're fed to the navigators and that whole infrastructure that's built up. So it's built outside of the reach of Congress. That's one of the reasons why people are so insistent on stopping it and starting all over, because it's built to more or less exist on its own. So if it goes into continuation, it's just going to really cause a lot of distortions and cause a lot of problems. So I don't know. I don't know. But I tell you one thing that Cruz is doing, he's building a real strong background of conservatives for whatever he wants to do in the next 2 years also.
Think?
Yeah.
Posing himself a little bit there. Let me ask you a quick question about Mr. Nakagiri.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of got drubbed in a straw poll. Again, this is a straw poll that's over a year, for an election that's over a year away.
Right, right.
And then I'm going to combine that with the fact that the governor is going to start running ads, and we're going to talk about this in a little bit. He's going to start running ads here pretty quick.
Right.
Do you think that even though it was 86-14 that that your guy still is going to keep on keeping on and try to, you know, chip away at it because it is such a far away from the election?
Well, yeah, I believe he's going to make a real big dent in it. And to tell you the truth, some of the people I've talked to, and I try to keep communications kind of through the back door with a lot of people, and they're afraid that he very well could win at the convention, and that would be embarrassing. I'm thinking, well, it's tough. You know, I'm sorry about that.
Embarrassing to who? I mean, you know, if he's a Republican, he's a Republican.
That's true. That's the whole point that I make. But, yeah, how can that be embarrassing? But and this is anecdotal of the people I talk to. Of course, when somebody talks to me, they know that I'm Tea Party, and they're going to say, oh, yeah, I think I like West, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they would vote some other way. But it looks pretty good right now in the rank and file. That's the thing in Mackinac Island was not really all the rank and file. A lot of elected officials, and the purpose of it, of course, is parties for the big deep pockets donors, and they more or less you know, support whatever the governor wants to do. So I that doesn't worry me too much. And the West was kind of happy that he thought that was pretty good. So. I still think it's a viable campaign, and the way the people I've talked to, even people that don't support Wes, have said the same thing. Well, let's put it on the convention floor. There's two theories of what would make the best ticket, and we'll just trust the delegates to vote for the right answer. So, sounds
Gene,
good to me.
If people want to get a hold of you, get more information on the Tea Party, where do they go?
Just go to MichiganTeaPartyAlliance.org.
There you go. As always, it's a pleasure, my friend, to talk with you. Hopefully, we'll see you in the studio soon.
Okay, yeah, right. We'll talk to you then.
All right, thanks, Gene. We appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Gene Clem, who's the spokesperson for the Michigan Tea Party Alliance and also the president of the Southwest Michigan Tea Party Patriots. A lot of fun on Mackinac Island. Oh, and in Mackinac City, too. One day we'll have to have him tell the story about the restaurant. It was pretty funny.
I'd like to go up there sometime.
You ever been up there?
No, I've been, you know, across the bridge up to, you know, my family's cab, but never stopped at Mackinac Island.
Oh, it's fun. Do you know the bridge moves over to the island? No, I'm just kidding. It's on a sweatshirt one time. Government run amok or maybe not. Let's talk about that next. It is the trifecta, 590 WKZO. 25 after the hour of 3 on a Tuesday afternoon. Indeed, 590 WKZO. For right now, it's Jim and Michael. That could change. You never know.
Yeah, you never know.
Who comes in? I don't know. Anybody can come in here. Yeah. Roger may come in after 4 o'clock.
We'll have to see.
We're going to talk a little bit about some holdup in the legislature, but we got some breaking news. Resolution has been passed by the Special House Subcommittee that will allow the Michigan Department of Education to go ahead with the Common Core State Standards as long as there's some good conditions met. Now, you remember these standards have caught quite a little bit of comment. Or the fact that some people believe the Common Core standards aren't something that we should get ourselves involved in because the federal government was the one who brought them down, and basically, they shouldn't do things like that. Now, the State Board of Education approved the Common Core standards back in 2010, but now there are some conditions set. One of them is the standards cannot, in using the quoting fingers, prescribe a particular method of instruction. So basically, what they're saying is, fine, the standards are there, but not only do the instruction guidelines, but also the curriculum and instructional methods and materials are going to remain under the control of local school districts. So you take the Common Core standards, Michael,
mm-hmm.
but you say, okay, Portage Public Schools and Kalamazoo Public Schools say they want to take a different avenue.
Okay.
They're allowed to do that.
Okay.
You know, maybe Kalamazoo doesn't use the same materials as Portage, as Mattawan, as does Climax Scotts, as does Parchment, on and on and on and on and on. That's allowed. As long as they're all going towards the same goal, that's cool.
Yeah.
But, and it's a heavy but, where's he at?
But.
Thank you. Oh, geez, Bob, you're supposed to be there for me. This the local districts are supposed to, and we've talked about, you know, I many times, Roger and Jay and I have all talked about it before. The simple fact of the matter is education should be the ground up. In other words, the local districts should have a lot more control than they probably do, and the federal government should be able to mandate things like One Child Left Behind and other stuff, and then say, here, you got to do this, and then not send any funding or anything other than saying, you must do this. No, you can't do that. They think they can. But they can't. So anyway, The news is that it will now go to the chairperson of the education committee, Lisa Lyons, will take it up, and they're going to take it up in committee tomorrow. Then possibly the full House will take it, and then it'll go on. And then for one, using the quoting fingers again, any future education standards approved by the State Board of Education shall be presented in a report or in testimony to the standing education committees of both chambers before implementation. So basically that means that if the State Board of Education, if they say they come down with some new Common Core things, before the State Board of Education says yay or nay, they have to go through the legislature to get approval first before they say yes. An interesting way to run the railroad.
Yeah.
Really is. And because of language that's been in the fiscal year 2014 budget, the Michigan Department of Ed can't spend any money implementing these standards in the new fiscal year unless the legislature votes yes.
Oh, geez.
Boy, there's some power-hungry dudes and dudettes in that place, you think? So, now, House Speaker Jay Spolger has said that a vote in the House could happen as early as this week. Running out of time, dude. It's Tuesday. So, you know, if it's going to happen, the committee, I mean, basically has to chase it out of committee tomorrow. And then it has to go to the full House, and then they have to do all this fun stuff. Because, you know, they just don't take a bill and throw it on the floor and go, ta-da, hey, we're good. Proponents of these standards say they give students, schools, and teachers a destination of success to shoot for. Opponents argue they're an unnecessary intrusion of a distant bureaucracy on local school districts. They kind of agree, sort of, without agreeing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, proponents are saying, okay, they give us some goals to shoot for. Yeah, but opponents are saying, no, it's the federal government saying you must do this. I can see that. I can see both of them, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand there are goals and stuff to go for, but, you know, they got to keep changing them. They just keep changing the name. That's the thing. First was One Child Left Behind. Now it's Common Core. Pretty soon it's going to be you have to do this, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
But I agree. Yeah, the bureaucracy imposing on local school districts is no. You can't do things like that. That's not right. You know, these school districts have curriculum standards. Everybody does. I remember working on committees that tried to develop them, for crying out loud. There's so many standards out there. It's crazy. You know? Just let them teach, man. But let the school districts decide how they're going to get to that goal.
Mm-hmm.
That's the cool part. So, anyway, East fun. Well, let's see. How's the government shutdown going to affect you on October 1st when they shut things down? More on that coming up. CBS and local news next. 590 WKZO. Our afternoon soiree here, brought to you in part by Bronson Children's Hospital Walk and 5K Run, September 29th. Register at bronsonhealth.com/walkrun. You gonna do that, by the way?
You said the 29th?
Yeah.
No, I've got a race the day before on the 28th.
Those of you who don't know, Michael is a racer.
I run a lot of 5Ks.
You run a lot of 5Ks?
Yeah. I'm doing the Run for the Sun this weekend.
Are you really?
Yes.
Good for you. Good for you. Are you gonna do the Run Through Hell? Don't send me any bad emails either, all right?
No, I don't think I am.
It's a geographic location.
Yeah.
A friend of mine did it. There's a little, you know, unincorporated town called Hell, Michigan, in case you don't know.
Yep.
We like to call it every winter and find out what the temperature is just in case it freezes over. There's a lot of people that owe me stuff. But they have what's called a run through hell. And it's like a 5K and I think a half marathon too, maybe, or something.
Yeah.
But it's really kind of cool. And I was just wondering if you were going
to
do that.
It always, you know, seems to happen on a weekend where I have another race going on.
You're a busy man.
I am.
You really are. I asked if you were going to do the 0.1K, you know, this weekend, and you have another run.
Yeah.
You're doing, so, the Run for the Sun.
Yep.
Which is cool. Not bad. How many do you do? I wanted to ask you that. How many runs do you do in a season?
Oh, spanning from January to December, I'd totaled it. I think it was about 30-some.
Really?
Yeah.
So, if somebody was going to, like, do this for the first time, don't think of me because, you know, I do not look like a runner.
Okay.
Probably never will look like a runner. Only when I was in the Army and I was 18, you know, it was a big deal. How long does it take you to go maybe from ground zero? How long did it take you to get yourself in shape to run 5Ks?
Oh, boy. I mean, I started in high school. I mean, when I started my freshman year, I wanted to do football. Yeah, I look like I'm a football player, too. Well, yeah. I got injured in basketball. over the summer, so I didn't even get to train for that. So I was like, nah, I'm not going to go out for it. Well, the cross country coach called in about August and said, hey, you want to come do cross country? I'm like, sure. Never ran a step like that in my life, you know, long distance. I did my first race at the end of the month, about 30 minutes, but, you know, by mid-season, I was down in the 25s and got down to 23 by the end. So I would say a month, you know, would be good. Some people might be like 2 months.
Well, that's cool. You know, if you leave the door open, anybody can walk in here. Anybody.
Anybody.
First, they let me in. Michael is in, but he's a good-looking guy.
Yeah.
And he's young.
Hi, Raj.
Hi, Jim.
How the heck are you?
I'm good.
I haven't seen you for a while.
You've been working mornings, I hear.
Is that what I'm doing?
Yeah, I've been listening.
I'm glad somebody is. Do I sound wide awake?
Most of the time.
Most of the time?
Yeah.
So how'd your meeting go? Anything you can tell us about?
Sure.
Yeah. Oh.
They're finishing the remodeling of...
Flesher Field?
No, they're finishing the remodeling of the cold store right up here.
Okay.
And they applied for zoning variances to increase their signage associated with the grand reopening of the store.
Oh, very nice.
And their request was 600% larger than the township rules would allow. And their variance was declined.
Government at work. Just in case you, of course, you don't know, Roger is the chairman of the Oshtemo Township Zoning Board of Appeals.
And we met, and I don't know if I should say that they didn't even show up.
Oh, well, okay. You can say that if you want to.
They read the staff report and could see the handwriting on the wall.
Yeah. Is that illegal, too? Never mind.
Seeing handwriting on the wall?
I'd be willing to bet, Bob, that you weren't expecting to hear me, huh?
No.
Hi, Bob.
And hi, Roger.
Now, Roger and Michael are here.
Right, okay. Yep.
But Jim is here, too. And so, now
we are
in
trifecta. How did that work out, Jim?
Well, Roger had some very important gubernatorial work to do.
Okay.
And so we didn't have anybody else, and so, like an idiot, I raised my hand. But then I forgot Michael was going to be here, so that's okay. So it's only a couple hours.
That's a trifecta anyway.
I get to come and play in the afternoon now. It's fun.
Yeah.
Because I haven't had any sleep. So it's like, oh yeah.
This is like the good old days.
But you're not babbling incoherently.
Not yet. Wait till after four.
Okay.
That might happen.
I wouldn't go that far, Bob.
All right.
So Bobo, I am telling you, first of all, from my standpoint.
Oh, yeah. Give him another.
Yeah. Wow.
You get five because this is fall weather. This is cool. Literally. 69 weather, you know, breezy. Oh. I'm loving this, Bob.
You know, there's always.
You know, I feel benevolent. There we go.
Wow. There's always a certain amount of subjectivity when it comes to interpreting how the weather is, whether it's nice, not so nice. We all know our legendary talks about what is hot, what is comfortable, et cetera.
Uh-huh.
But I think most people can come to a consensus that today is a nice day.
Yeah.
Even if you're, you know, such as Jay, and you really prefer the hot, humid weather, given that it's autumn now, it's almost October, I think you've come to accept the fact that when it's bright and sunny and it's a few degrees away from 70, thereabouts, it's nice.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the dew point is 45.
And if you want to get hot, all you've got to do is exercise in the sun.
Which is what I did today.
Yeah, I was
exactly.
Going to say. Michael already ran.
You know, it makes it very difficult this time of year to dress for this type of weather because if you're out and about at 6, 7 in the morning, it's chilly.
You got that right.
Or 11 o'clock at midnight, same thing. But if you're outside exercising in the midday and early afternoon sun, it still feels hot.
You know what? You know what animal really likes this cool weather?
What's that?
Skunks.
Oh.
We got a family of them somewhere around my apartment building.
Oh boy.
Because more often than not, I will get up and, you know, come into work in the morning. There is the skunk, looking around for something. I don't know, either something to spray or something to eat. So, and I kind of run to my car.
Yeah, I've seen them late at night too.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you don't have to see them to know they're there.
Oh no, that's true. You know, if they've already attacked something,
in fact, that's
or
often
someone.
The case.
Actually, skunks don't stink.
It's the
That's
stuff
true.
They spray.
It's what they yeah. emit,
they
right?
Emit. Thank
when you,
you yes.
when you're walking in the woods and you smell a skunk, you smell a great horned owl that just ate one.
Oh.
And birds have no sense of smell, so they don't know they stink.
Yeah, they don't care.
Well, all I know is they're good eating, I guess. Mm. So, Bob, given the fact that it's really nice outside, what might the word be?
The word is genteel.
Oh, see, I like that.
Because it's not only sunny and whatnot, it's just very tranquil. That does lead to one bump in the road, and we saw it to some extent early this morning. That's fog.
Yeah, that's true.
We are into now what I would call fog season. Fog tends to be most common this time of year, the late night, early morning variety fog. And I think that's the case again late tonight and tomorrow morning, perhaps Thursday morning and Friday morning as well. But certainly I would be on the lookout for that tomorrow morning. After that burns off, tomorrow's another beautiful day, probably a notch or two warmer. Basically, and we touched on this last week, this is an extended period of dry, tranquil weather where we'll have nighttime lows in the 40s and daytime highs in the 70s.
Very nice. That is cool.
Next
literally.
Chance of rain comes, I think, Sunday.
Yeah, I was going to ask you.
Sunday
just,
looks to be the day.
Like
the next front comes through with showers. I don't think it's a lot, but showers when the front comes through. And it's the time of year now where we can oftentimes, even with the front coming through, we don't have to necessarily call it thunderstorms. Not that that is impossible. No. But I think more than anything else, it just showers. And then we go back to nice weather again for early next week.
You are just the man.
How
you
nice.
Know?
I love this
It's similar to this.
Okay.
Not 40s by night, 70 or so by day.
But you are the man. You really are.
Yeah, who could
complain? One more time.
We'll find someone.
One more time, yes. Thanks, Bob.
You're welcome.
Have a good one.
You
Thank
too.
You. Yeah, see, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
That's yeah.
This is perfect weather.
I'm loving it.
I can't wait to golf tomorrow.
All right, you know what you're going to get?
Am I going to get the buzzer?
Yeah, because I've gone out golfing twice this year. That's it.
Sorry.
I've never been golfing.
Although, I will tell you, yeah, but there's a reason.
Yeah.
You don't like golf. I did a wedding over the weekend at a beautiful golf course that I did not know existed, being Bedford Valley.
Oh, yes.
It's over near Battle Creek. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to tell you something.
Is that the one by Turkeyville?
No.
Oh.
No.
No, that's Heritage something.
That's, yeah. This is, let me see. It's in Bedford, which, you know, if you go down M37, the only problem is you got to really look for the signs. Because if you don't look for the signs, you do what I did, and that's take a tour of Southwest Michigan. I went all the way to Barry County on M37 before I turned around. And then I stopped at the store and I said, where's Hutchinson Road? And he goes, oh, behind us. Yeah, little bitty letters, you know? Calhoun County Road Commission. A little help here,
yeah.
You know? I mean, come on.
You know, that Route 37 goes all the way to Traverse City.
I know.
You're lucky you got directions when you did.
Yeah,
you've been really lost.
I could still be there.
If you saw a big body of water.
I've been in trouble.
That's called Lake Michigan.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I ran past some lake. I don't know what it was, but it was in Barry County. I can tell you that. All right, so what we're going to talk about is what happens if the government shuts down. Now, let me explain something, I guess. Personally, from my standpoint, old senior Pollyanna here, I would think that the people in the United States government, a monument to Murphy's Law, known as the Capitol Building, would come to their senses, possibly.
I would hope so.
Ever the right. optimist.
Let me tell you something. I'm going to, because this is such a stupid thing, maybe it'll sound better if I play this behind it. Governmental shutdown, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't want to fund Obamacare, not, of course, remembering that not only have they tried it several times before and it hasn't made it, but did you hear CBS News? They, and that Obamacare has nothing to do with the budget. It's mandatory funding. So guess what? You want to defund it, it ain't going to be defunded, all right? Do your math homework. Especially Senator Cruz, because he's talking right now.
Well, he doesn't
over
seem
and over and over
to understand how government works
well,
in this country.
He's learning.
I think he skipped civics class when he was in high school.
Well, that could be. By the way, just as an offshoot here, Michael, did you see this? The night 5K run in Hell, Michigan has a nude mile as an option.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't run, and I'm there. Hey. Hey, we had to do it. No.
You're going to run nude?
No. No, I'm not going to run at all.
Oh, my God. I'm going to poke my eyes out just thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah. So could anyway.
Be scary.
We could really scare him, and you and I'd run as a tag team.
And make everybody run faster.
Say again.
Oh, the humanity.
Are you kidding me?
No, yeah. That didn't happen.
Yeah, we could run.
Uh-huh.
In close proximity.
You know what? You know what really fits this perfectly, and we play it for the. But if we went out and tried to run,
oh no,
we'd suck again.
Yeah, we'd be in the dirt. Michael would come by and go, "I don't know those guys."
Hey, did the Tigers win last night?
No.
Oh no, they suck again.
I played it this morning.
Yeah,
they were up, weren't they?
They were up 3-0 in the eighth inning, and then they gave up 2 runs in the eighth. Benoit came in the eighth. Leland thought he could get 5 outs to get the save. He gives up a home run in the ninth, and then they ended up losing it in extra innings to the Twins.
Sort of like a reverse of what happened this weekend.
Exactly.
So they're still two out.
Two.
It's magic number still two.
Mm-hmm. They win tonight, then they'll clinch a wild card at least.
Yeah.
And at least a tie for the division title.
Win, or if Texas were to lose. That's what I read.
All right. So anyway, what we're going to talk about is what would happen if the government shut down. We're going to run through this really quickly here. Would you still get mail? Yes, because remember, the post office doesn't have anything to do with the government.
Although
the government seems to think it is.
Our tax dollars are not involved in the post office.
Social Security checks are still sent out. Doctors would get reimbursements, but if it goes beyond a few days, then fewer federal employees will be available, so that many disbursements may crawl to a standstill. Who works? Essential workers work. Non-essential ones don't.
Is FBI essential?
Mm-hmm.
Department of Homeland Security?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, the president.
Oh, he doesn't
air
get
traffic
time
controllers now. By those guys. And because one time I was with the Army and the government shut down, we got paid retroactively.
Whoa.
We got paid retroactively. So, mm-hmm. However, those those who are furloughed don't get a guarantee of being paid. Okay, the Affordable Care Act, the bargaining chip and the government shutdown will not be affected because its funds aren't tied to the congressional budget. Somebody in the 535 people sitting in the Capitol should have figured that out.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I'm thinking there was one senator named Cruz who should have figured that out.
Yeah. Supreme Court justices and federal judges keep getting paid. However, between 20 and 30,000 visa applications went unprocessed the last time it shut down, as did 200,000 passport applications. The Centers for Disease Control would shut down. Some tax investigations will take a break, but collections won't. They'll continue to issue the bonds that the government will, but if you want a federal loan, though, you have to wait. Oh, and here's a big one. Federal gun permits are also not processed during a shutdown.
NRA will be on that one.
Wayne LaPierre's probably got steam coming out of his ears already.
He knew there was a plot to keep people away from their guns.
I'm telling you. Hi, Chris. Living up to heartbreak once again.
Yep. So what happened the last time there was a shutdown?
1995?
Yeah, how many people died?
No, I don't know.
21 days over Christmas. I think it went down on the 19th. So
yeah,
how many people died?
But nobody died, but it cost taxpayers $1.4 billion with a B dollars to close the government down.
That's not even close to a rounding error in our budget. So I guess I don't see, it's just like the sequester. What happened? Why didn't the planes fall out of the sky?
Let me ask you this, though, and this is the big question. If Obamacare being defunded is the big thing they're holding over it, but yet it says right here that it doesn't matter because the funds aren't tied to congressional budget.
Who wrote that?
That it's not? They did!
Who? No, whoever, who wrote the article that you're quoting?
Who wrote the article? MSN News.
Okay, well, there you go.
There
you go. I think that they're trying to make a point that I don't
know. So what you're telling me is if I go to the Fox News channel, they're going to tell me something exactly the opposite of what this is? Everybody can shut Obamacare down because the funds are mandatory. There's nothing they can do. It was written into the system. It was written into the bill. There's nothing in the congressional budget about the Affordable Care Act.
I listened to a contrary opinion yesterday that said that.
Whose contrary opinion?
MSNBC's.
Oh,
no, wait, maybe it was Fox. Oh, no, wait, maybe it was my point is there's other opinions on the same subject.
Well, I realize but that's...
So but you asked who Jim's source was.
Well,
so
he told me, though.
Yeah, and so it's fair for us to ask you your source.
He told me I'm good. You guys.
Well, here's the thing. And, you know, I think it's a matter of fact. No matter who says it, this is said because of the mandatory payment factor. It's not in the congressional budget, so you can't defund something that they have nothing to do with.
They can. The Congress can choose to fund or not fund anything. By the Constitution, Congress is not forced to fund or not fund anything in the future. Any Congress can choose at any time to fund or unfund a war, a program. It's been, and this is that opinion that Levin laid out, was that it's all tied to what's been done in the past.
But the Senate is Democratic and the President's Democrat. His name's on it, for crying out loud.
Sure.
They're going to get it past him?
No, it's not going to get past him, and he's going to have to make a choice. He's either going to have to pull the funds back and delay this. You know, what's funny is that he's exempted a lot of major corporations. He's exempted the Congress of the United States. He's exempted most of the government and some of the unions, but he won't exempt me or you.
Oh,
and
see, somehow, now I know that's wrong. I know that's wrong.
I know that's wrong, but you're going to let it. You're
no,
okay.
No, he's saying you're factually incorrect.
No. I'm saying I agree with Chris. I think it's wrong that if you're going to exempt companies and all this other things, you need to also exempt individuals. This is not fair.
But is this going to be mandatory or not? And how come I'm left to suffer the consequence of this law that was passed by one party, only one party? Nobody from the other party voted for it.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with you there. I think it was ramrodded.
Because,
now we're going to...
Chris, let me tell you how Congress works.
I know
51% is enough to carry it. It doesn't to include two parties.
Are you that neglectful of history? Do you remember how this passed? This passed on a trick from the Senate. The House passed it, the Senate wouldn't pass it, and Harry Reid brought it up and worked it as some kind of amendment. I forget the legal term they used, but it was a load up hooey. He didn't get any Republican votes, and
He
needed at least 60 votes in the Senate to keep it out of filibuster.
Let me flip this, okay? This is going to be fun. Let me flip this. We have a situation in Michigan where the exact same thing happened with the opposite party. Republicans ramrodded right to work through during a lame duck session, pretty much left the Democrats out of things, and now we have right to work. So sure. I'm not saying two wrongs make a right, but I'm saying that it doesn't matter. However you do this, the process is wrong, but to hold up the entire United States government's funding because you're mad that you didn't get to do something instead of...
It's not a matter of being mad. This is not about being mad.
Yes, it
is. You guys don't understand that. This is about fiscal responsibility. This is about not spending more money than you have. This is about my freedom to pick and choose providers.
Chris, if the right-wingers were successful in defunding Obamacare, it would raise the deficit about $100 billion.
That's what the left-wingers say.
Uh-huh.
But that's not true, because you're raising the deficit. They mm-hmm. were supposed to get it on under $1 trillion. It's way over $1 trillion now, and it's going to keep on going over $1 trillion. And I looked up. How many?
And what's your source for that? Where did you look this up?
Online. Wall Street Journal was the best place to go to. About four of the states are going to have a net savings. The rest of us are going to have about a $7,500 increase in the cost of medical health care per family.
He hit his home break again.
So you know,
he's good.
Yeah. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Chris. We appreciate it. Yeah, no, I we're going to agree to disagree on this one. Ryan, you got about 35, 40 seconds. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, the Obamacare, you know how the children have to be covered up to 25?
They can be, yeah.
26,
but yeah.
Okay. TRICARE for retirees,
uh-huh.
The federal government cover.
The federal government won't cover, or will?
Yeah, will not. So it ends at 21. Unless the kid's a full-time student, and then at each school year you got to prove it in writing that the kid is a full-time student, and then after 23, they're done. They're off your insurance.
And that's built into the Affordable Care Act?
Well, they don't.
Or that's what the company's doing.
This is the government's medical program for military retirees and their families.
Oh, okay.
And also for active duty if they're not covered by a base hospital or base medical.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Ryan. We appreciate it. I didn't know that.
If that was the only place we were abusing veterans, I would be happy.
All right, hour two. It is the trifecta. 590 WKZO.
The trifecta continues after CBS News and Kalamazoo's news from the WKZO.com newsroom on 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.